Coming up on the As One Leadership podcast.
My faith informs my leadership. So my leadership is a whole lot better when I am really deeply connected with Jesus.
Yeah. So important.
Yes. And you can't pay lip service to it. You actually have to do it.
Well, welcome everyone to the As One Leadership podcast. Today's guest is Joe Hood. Joe Hood is the founder of Mainly Music Playgroup. She's the international CEO and she's a leader of the team. And so it's wonderful to have her with us today. Joe, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. And you've driven out this afternoon. I'm looking forward to having a great conversation with you. So for the listeners that are listening to the podcast or maybe even watching on YouTube, I think it would be good for them to get to know you a little bit first.
Sure.
So if you'd like to tell us, a brief background and some of your history, your family, and how you came to be where you are now would be great.
Sure. Well, I should say kia ora to start with, because then that positions me. I'm really from Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Yep.
And I was born in Auckland, lived in Auckland until 14 and a half years ago. We moved to Australia. And so I'm the eldest of three children. My parents were very involved in the church that was a church plant where they built a home. So it was, you know, a new subdivision. And I went to local schools, did all just the usual things, and have more recently been to university. So I've done Carey Baptist College theological training in New Zealand, mostly by distance, unfortunately. I like the classroom environment, but once we moved over here, I had to do most of it by distance. I didn't play sport. I have an issue with pain on my left side, so okay. I didn't do sport very much. But I was into music, and so I played the clarinet and the piano, did music right through school. And played in the Auckland Youth Symphonic Band. So my claim to fame is that I played the clarinet in the Christchurch Town Hall.
Wish I had known that. I would have included that in the intro. The resume.
Did lots of activity. I held leadership positions within church, within school, growing up. So lots of chances to use my leadership muscle, or, you know, strengthen it. And then, as I said, moved here to Australia about 14 and a half years ago to establish Mainly Music in Australia. Very quickly found out that New Zealanders cope with Australian head offices, but Australians don't cope so well with New Zealand head offices.
We're snobs, are we?
No, it's just, I think it's just the whole bigger brother thing.
Oh, well, Mainly Music, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about what that is so that our listeners know it. But for us at Follow, we've done Mainly Music from before day one at our previous church, and also my wife established it at our church as well. And it's been such a wonderful outreach and a real joy for us to be able to connect with people in our community. And most people that come to this playgroup, which is a Christian-based playgroup, are not people who come to church. And yet they come and they sing songs about God and they connect with Christian people. And so it's been such a blessing for us. And I've always known you from afar with emails and videos I see, and we've met a couple of times face-to-face in recent times. But, yeah, it's really great to be able to have the chat with you and to hear some of your story. I tried to say kia ora when you got here before, but I said it wrong. I think I said kia ora or something, which is like the car. So serves me right for trying to be smart. But our administrator at church is a New Zealander, so she went and got us fish and chips for lunch today. We're all full up. So you've been here for about 14 years, and you came here to establish Mainly Music in Australia, which is wonderful. So for those who've never heard of Mainly Music, can you give us a bit of a snapshot and let us know what it really is all about?
I would say it's not actually a play group, but it fits that model. That's the easiest generic term for it. It's half an hour of interactive music and rhyme for carers who are mostly mums and dads, and these days grandparents as well, and preschoolers, so babies and preschoolers, any child that's not legal age to go to school. And it is not a concert. It is not entertainment. It's about connection with the grown-up and the little person. And then you move into eat, play, chat. So that's exactly that. The children get fed and then the toys come out, and then there's usually something yummy for the grown-ups to eat. and a chance for people to finish a hot cup of coffee, to finish a sentence, to talk to grown-ups about life, about things happening. And it's a way for the local church to interact with the community in a very tangible and a very real and a very needs-met way. So mothers want to get out of the house. They want that connection. Grandparents who are responsible for grandchildren want that connection as well. They become isolated. So we've done all the social isolation time, but people really want to get back.
Yep.
And community is really important.
It certainly makes the day go quicker, doesn't it? If you've got to look after your grandchild or your child all day, it's hard to entertain them. But to get out, they get some activity. They love it. You know, there's always squealing and laughter and joy at mainly music. As the pastor of the church, I often pop in. My wife runs it too, so I want to support her. But I want to meet the people there.
Yeah.
And I always look forward to the morning tea. It's always really good. So it's better than my standard morning tea, that's for sure. So, but yeah, it's really, really great. So I think for us, planning a church in a growth corridor too, families are kind of a big target for us in terms of the demographic of our area. And so, you know, inviting young families to a church service doesn't usually, you know, they're not that interested often, but a playgroup, they're looking for stuff like that. And and it's a great connection. So it breaks the isolation, which is a big problem in our area. And you just get out and about and meet new people. And
And fun. Attachment is very much woven through the session, through everything that we do. And so attachment is really important for young children to grow emotionally healthy lives. And it happened. It didn't happen by design. It happened by default. And so they go home feeling great about mum, and mum feels great about them as well.
Yeah, for sure. And what you said before about it not being a concert, like I just love it. There's big tubs of instruments, and they get out their instruments and they bang on their drums and they shake their bells, and and then you have like in our sessions we have the big sort of sheet, and they all jump under the sheet, and it goes up and down and everyone wants to run in there, and it's just so much fun.
It is.
Yeah, you've done a great job of setting up. So it's good for our listeners and viewers to know a little bit more about what it's all about. So how did it start? Like, I'm always fascinated when people start something. Mm-hmm. It usually, you know, when it goes as well as what mainly music has gone, it's hard to imagine you saw it that way at first.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, so it'd be good for you to kind of rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
Take us back on that journey. What were you thinking and trying to achieve when you founded Mainly Music?
Yep.
And I know you said a moment ago it's not a playgroup.
Yeah.
My question was, why another playgroup, and what makes Mainly Music different?
Yep.
So if it's not a playgroup as such and that's not what you're aiming for, how is it different?
Yeah, sure. So Rebecca, our eldest, was about 18 months. And I used to go with a girlfriend and her daughter to a music group in a community centre. There was very little structure around what we did. There was no celebration of birthdays, no eat, play, chat afterwards. It was just half an hour of interactive music. And because music is part of my interest area, we had a great time. And I don't think we went very many times. But then the whole thing was going to change. And so I realized that with my music background that it wasn't rocket science, but I say these days it sort of is rocket science because, you know, there are some secret herbs and spices. Yeah. So we started it as a connection point between church and community to create community for the community.
Yeah.
Often church buildings are vacant Sunday to Sunday. And so why not use the church as a venue? There's a volunteer pool, there's an accountability, there's financial stability in behind that. I'm quite a driven person, results oriented, and so going along to a playgroup where there didn't seem to be any sort of rhyme or reason to what you were doing didn't turn me on. So having this music session where you actually got something out of it really, really was the difference.
Yeah, and it's a universal language, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Everyone
yes,
loves
is.
Music, and because my wife runs it at our church, we have it on in the car, and I don't know about you, but those songs, they just get stuck in your head, and
they
over
do.
And over again, you're laying in bed sometimes and you're singing mainly music songs. But that's great for kids to learn those rhymes and to develop those skills. So who knows, some Australian Idols down the track maybe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So there was actually a mum from New Zealand. She was involved in quite a serious car accident.
Mm.
And so she was pinned in the car. And the only thing that she could think of was the L-O-V-E, Love That's Why song.
Yeah, wow.
And so she just sung that to herself until the ambulance and police came.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you this, because one of our leaders asked to ask you, do you have a favourite Man the
yeah.
Music song?
I don't know that I do, really. At the moment it's Row, Row, Row Your Boat, because my one-year-old granddaughter, that's all she wants to sing, that and Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. But, yeah, there's usually a favourite for a season.
Mm. So you didn't imagine that first time when you started in New Zealand that it would become a playgroup right around the world.
No.
For the people listening, how many countries in the world is Man the Music in?
So at the moment, 11.
11 countries.
Yeah. Wow. We've got up as much as 14, but sometimes there's only one, it's only one group in a country. And so if that closes down or it goes on hold, then it affects the number of countries we're in.
Yeah. So you know how many groups there are in total?
Yes, nearly 1,000.
Wow.
Somewhere between 950 and 1,000.
That's incredible.
But less at the moment because of COVID.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So have many of them gone online during this time?
Yeah, quite a number of them.
Okay.
And we've been doing online sessions as well.
Yeah, of course. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, very good. So when you start something, like no one really, I mean, some people got great vision, but most people who do something amazing don't think we're going to be in lots of countries one day and we're going to have nearly 1,000 groups. You sort of think if I can get one group going, that would be pretty good. So tell us a little bit about vision. Vision's a big part of leadership.
Yeah, it is.
Obviously, you had vision for that one group when you started. But how did it come about to get in different parts of the world, and when did the vision change to make you think, hey, actually this is something good and it could be taken to other parts of the world?
So the Baptists in New Zealand, and I started it in my home church, which was Hills Church, they were the most outward focused denomination at the time or grouping. And so it was very it flourished in the Baptist denomination, and then it just kept unfolding.
Well, Baptists are the best.
Yeah, that's right.
No bias at all in that.
And then Kiwis travel the world, and there's often people who have come to Australia. Like I think there's 500,000 of us over here. And so people would see it back in New Zealand and then want to take it to England or want to take it to Australia. So it's actually the 30th anniversary of the starting of Mainly Music in Hills Church. But it's actually the 20th anniversary. I only just realised the other day. It shows how much of a historian I am.
Not my strength either.
No, totally not my strength. 20 years since the first group started in Australia at Western Port on the Mornington Peninsula.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and that was a couple, and she had a sister in New Zealand, and they'd gone over and seen this Mainly Music and got in touch and said, you know, could we start something like this? And so with a little bit of fear and trepidation, yes, we did. Mm. From a vision point of view, I would say that really, so I've been working full-time with Mainly Music. Now, here's how bad I am at us being historian. I don't really know how long. I mean, more than 14 and a half years.
Ish,
I think about 18.
On the end.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I think it's about 18 years. Yep. And at that point, we needed to make a decision about what I was going to do work-wise. My husband had a very serious accident about 9-10 years before that. Mm. And so I needed to actually work for Mainly Music because it had got to a size that it couldn't just be done as a volunteer. Mm. Yeah. And I mean, that had always been my intention, that I would just keep my involvement to a volunteer role and make it a gift to the kingdom. But by then we had 200 groups in New Zealand and about 20 over here.
Mm.
And so it wasn't long after that I could start seeing that this actually had more capacity and more ability to go further.
Yeah, wow. No, it's great. I think it'd be fair to say that people fall in love with Mainly Music.
You know,
whether
they've
got faith background or not. You know, we've got people of different faiths coming to Mainly Music that we run, and I think people fall in love with it because it is so joyful and vibrant, and the kids are involved and the parents are involved.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. So, and I think too, you know, I think it's part of the vision, but trying to keep it affordable. So a lot of playgroups,
absolutely.
You know, it costs a fortune to go. Yeah. You know, obviously a second mortgage. Whereas mainly music, we keep it as cheap as we possibly can. It's usually around about $5 a session.
Yeah.
But if people can't afford it, they come for free, and I think that's wonderful as well, because you want it to be accessible for people no matter what they're going through, and particularly sometimes those that are doing it tough. You want to break the isolation. You want to get them with people. So. So it's really wonderful. So I can see why people went to New Zealand, saw it and thought, hey, we've got to bring this to Australia or the UK or wherever. So do you know off the top of your head what countries it's in?
Yes. So New Zealand, Australia, Scotland, England, Republic of Ireland, Spain, Lebanon, USA, Canada, Hong Kong, South Africa. I'm not sure. There must be some others, but
Off the spot, it's pretty hard to remember them all, but that's great. So, like, how big is it to take it to other countries? Is it, have you sort of made a package now that you can sort of transport pretty easily?
Yes. Yeah. So the secret is, I call it the McDonald's formula, that you could go and experience mainly music anywhere and it will sort of taste like a Big Mac. In your mainly music, you might get more tomatoes. In another mainly music, you might get more gherkins, but essentially you've bitten into a Big Mac.
Yeah. So there's consistency.
And there is consistency.
There's quality.
Yeah.
I mean, it's super organized mainly music. And that's what I think, you know, my wife is not an extrovert in any way. She doesn't have a music background.
Yeah.
And so when she first said she was joining a mainly music team at a church I was on staff at, like, I was really surprised. Really? Like, of all things, you're going to sing and dance up the front in front of a whole bunch of kids and parents. But she's been able to just pick it up and run with it and, you know, develop her confidence as a result of leading mainly music. And I think a big part of it was that there was a package there that she could access the package. The songs were already done. She's not having to dream up new ideas. And I think you and the team are so creative that those ideas really help. And I've loved watching that with our team. So they take the creativity that mainly music puts out centrally that you guys come up with, and then they kind of make it their own and they add different
things.
That's
what we love.
And, I really love that. So, for example, with Mother's Day, like the team the last couple of years decided that they were going to cook a whole bunch of meals, which you can't do now. But pre-COVID days, back in the old days when we could do stuff, they would cook a meal for all the mums. So they rocked up on Mother's Day or the Mother's Day week and they got a meal. So that night when they went home, they didn't have to cook.
Yeah.
You just go and enjoy the meal with the family. And I just love those little things that, you know, you take the amazing package of mainly music and then you just think, okay, what can we do
in our environment? And that idea originally came out of Annisbrook Nelson.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, and then people just do it their way and it's wonderful.
Such a special gift, I think.
Yeah,
The drudge of cooking every night.
Yes.
Just to have a night off and feel
well,
special.
Well, and I like that whole idea of sharing too, that a number of times I've been to workshops and a team member has said to me, oh, our team leader is just the best. She's done, la, la, la. And I'm thinking, yeah, she got that straight out of the newsletter, but I'm not going to let you know that because I want her to be your hero that you know, she's thought. You think she's thought of that. That rocks.
Yeah,
that's really helpful.
I think great leadership is when your fruit grows on other people's trees, isn't it? You know, when you invest in people and then the fruit of your life is actually taken on by them and it blooms on their trees as well. I think that's wonderful.
And they often do it better, which is great. Absolutely great.
And you must get great satisfaction just looking around the world and seeing all the different expressions of it.
Yes.
So Lebanon, that's
I thought you might ask me about that.
That's a big step. Yeah, how did that happen?
That's a Kiwi missionary.
Yeah, wow.
So, well, first of all, Mainly Music started there as a result of somebody who led the Arab Baptist Church in Beirut, and he's also, I think he's a professor in the Arab Baptist Theological College.
Mm.
So they saw it in England when he was doing some study, took it back for their church, and they connect with a lot of people who are expats who have come, married Lebanese guys, need to speak English, just want to see some people that they can connect with in amongst the Lebanese or particularly the Beirut culture. Mm. Then Steph was working in Lebanon and she's a New Zealand missionary. She's actually been extradited from there now. Yeah, but she established some mainly music groups, especially for Chaldean and Syrian refugees. Yeah, and I got the pleasure of actually going to Lebanon and being a part of two of those groups.
Wow. Mm. I've been to a couple of Lebanese weddings and they're wild and fun and the food's amazing. So I can imagine the morning teas.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah. They were looking for anything that was nourishing because, a lot of these Syrian refugees were living in a room not much bigger than this with their four children. And it was there was one child who wouldn't leave the place that was home because of what he had seen back in Syria, and then got to the point at Mainly Music where he would take his shoes off so that his mother couldn't take him from Mainly Music easily because that had become his safe and enjoyable space.
Mm. I can just imagine be that moment of joy in the week.
Oh, totally.
Just looking forward to Mainly Music when everything else is so bleak and dark and dangerous.
Yeah.
To come to a place where there's so much joy and colour and vibrancy, that'd be awesome. Yeah. So that must be so rewarding for you to go to something like that.
And, it is.
Think, wow, what started in a little part of New Zealand is going to some of the most difficult parts in the world. So what do you wish you knew, wish you'd known when you first started out? You look back now, is there something you wish, I wish I knew that when I started?
I think as I reflect on my journey, New Zealanders have a phrase that we call using the number eight wire. So number eight wire is the wire that you use for fencing. And because we're a very sheep and dairy-based culture, agricultural country, when you use your number eight wire, pretty much you just put your hand to whatever it is and you just make a bit of a MacGyver type feel. I wish I hadn't used quite so much number eight wire. I wish I had actually not tried to do everything myself for the sake of finance or whatever and engaged a volunteer or found some money to get somebody who was a bit more expert than me and done a better job.
So why do you think it was that you didn't delegate? Because I think a lot of leaders who are very strong leaders and very good leaders go through that journey of they don't delegate much and then they realise, actually, if I'm going to grow and I'm going to be a better leader, I need to delegate and empower. So do you remember, were there breaking points?
Yeah, it was really just financial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just didn't have the money to do that sort of thing. And so you wanted to get it done.
Mm.
And so you just made it happen.
Mm. So did you find some hidden gems when you started delegating stuff?
Yeah. Yes, yes. And now we've got a staff team. So the gems are there.
Yeah, for sure. So how do you go? We're going a bit off script here, but how do you go leading a staff? You know, how do you find that? What are the, I guess, the pros and cons, the things that you love, the things that you find difficult?
Well, I would say I'm not a great manager. People that I lead reckon that I am, but it's sort of like, look, just do your job. I'm doing mine. I'm a mix of task and people, but task is my stronger suit. Mm. And so I sometimes miss those, I should really have just stopped to check what was actually happening in the life of that person. There is a tension between friendship and employment as well. Mm. So, I hold that quite carefully because you don't want to be all-encompassing as a friend and then having to pull somebody up for not performing. So I think that's a pretty hard part of. I have a very strong mantra within the organisation because we're faith-based and it's very easy to expect people to do volunteer work and people often expect that you're expecting them. And so I say I don't want regular volunteering. If you give half an hour a month, that's fine. But if you're actually doing half an hour a day or half an hour a week extra, you're either doing something that you're not meant to be doing or you're doing something inefficiently and so we need to talk about how we can make that better. Or you actually need to be paid half an hour a week more because the job has grown. So I want to make sure we honour people's time. And at times we've got a staff member at the moment who's giving way more than half an hour a week. But we're working towards creating a job that is more sustainable for mm-hmm. her. And she doesn't mind at the moment.
Yep.
But I always say, you'll give me that extra time, not in regards to this person, but generally, you'll give me that volunteer time when you love me. But when the employment relationship sours, you will want me to take that into consideration that you missed a deadline or you stuffed something up.
Mm.
But look at all the volunteer hours I did in the past. So it's better not to have those volunteer hours and keep it very clean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's always a tricky thing, isn't it, with staff and friendship. I always marvel at the way Jesus did with the disciples, that he clearly loved them. There was friendship there, but you know, when he had to say, get behind me, Satan, or he had to really rebuke someone, he seemed to be the master at being able to do that in a way that was done out of love and because he wanted them to grow and all that. So I think that's a tension that we all navigate when we're with a leader. And I think sometimes too the leader becomes, people see you as the boss, you know, and the boss is always the baddie kind of thing. So you're always trying to break that down while keeping some sort of place of authority when you need to, but also, like you said, pausing, asking people how they're going, making sure that you're loving them appropriately as well. Because the bottom line is, what we do is, whether you're a pastor like myself or you're leading an organization like Mainly Music, it's all about people.
Yes, you know? Yes, it is.
We've got to remind ourselves sometimes, you know. I remember my wife said to me a number of years ago, actually I said to my wife, do you know what I love about ministry? And she said, what's that? And I said, I love people.
Yeah.
And I said, do you know what drives me nuts about ministry?
Yeah.
So I said, same answer.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's the tension we have sometimes. Yes, but yes, just remembering that people are precious. So I really appreciate what you said there. Mm-hmm. So Mainly Music is built around five values.
Yes.
That are obviously very precious to you. And
they are.
You've gone through a process of vision and putting that all together.
Yeah.
So what are those five values? And how important is it to constantly reinforce them to people?
Yeah. So it's creativity, connection, celebration, honor, and generosity.
Yep.
It is important to constantly reinforce those. And late last year, we realized we had been doing that for the volunteer teams within Mainly Music, but not with our staff. And so we put aside some time and ran some workshops a workshop in New Zealand and in Australia, specifically around those five values.
Yep.
And you have to keep revisiting those things, because the other thing is, you've got to keep revisiting, are they still our values because we actually value them?
Mm-hmm.
Is the expression of those values still relevant? Do we need to hold generosity but do it a different way? Do we need to extend it into a different area of the organization?
And often it's that reevaluation that's not done. You know, you have these values at the start and they're your values, and 20 years later you're still saying they're your values. But if you look at your organisation, it's not reflected.
Yes.
So, you know, I think you've heard it said lots of times that vision leaks, but I don't think values leak any less.
No, exactly. So I would agree.
You've got to keep reinforcing those. I think one thing Craig Groeschel said in recent years was that culture is a combination of what you create and what you allow.
Yeah.
And I think the values, you know, you create them.
Yeah.
But then if you allow them not to be lived out or forgotten or whatever, they're not your values for long.
No, so, that's right.
From an outsider looking in, having some involvement with Mainly Music at our church, it seems to me that those values are held very strongly.
Yes.
And are communicated well. And for my wife, I don't think there's any confusion as to what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're endeavouring in our context to live those out. And I just love seeing, you know, the generosity and those things coming out in our group. And, yeah, so I think you're doing a great job of reinforcing those. So
thank you.
So well done.
Thank you.
Very, very good. So no doubt there's many stories over the years from Mainly Music. I love the one you talked about, the car crash before and the LOVE love coming out.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful. But can you think of a story that's particularly inspiring? I mean, you spoke about Lebanon, which is great too.
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, because there's just a myriad of stories. That's really the lifeblood of Mainly Music, is the stories.
Mm.
And we've got one staff member who keeps those party poppers in her top drawer. And so, you know, when there's a great story, she'll appear in the accounts and admin room.
So some people ring a bell or something.
Yeah, like they do. Yeah.
I like that, the poppers.
Yes. And that's always a mess to clean up. And so I was actually thinking about, and it sort of bounces off you saying your wife wasn't particularly musical, but she got the confidence. So it bounces off that. So there was a lady who wrote to me once and said, that when she first got involved in Mainly Music, she thought, I could probably do the kitchen. I don't want people to notice me. I'll just stay in the kitchen. And over time, she got her confidence. And so she agreed to become the hospitality welcome person. So that's very, very in your face. You know, yeah. You've got people coming up to you the whole time.
Interactive, isn't it?
Very interactive. And over time, she got more and more confident until the day that she wrote to me was the day that she realized she had been doing the upfront sessions. So everybody watching you, everybody doing what you're doing.
Wow.
And she'd been doing that for about 6 months. And she said, if I look back and you'd told me that I was now doing this, I would have run a mile. I needed to hide in the kitchen and make my way through that. And God had been just paving the way, a bit like that, is it a Scottish game, you know, where they sweep the snow the boule or something, whatever it is, goes across. No, that's French. but it's a Scottish game. You know, that was what God was doing for her, taking away that resistance and just slowly bringing her into a place of confidence.
Yeah.
And there's a pastor here in Melbourne who said, one of the worst things about Mainly Music is that you bring people who are unemployed onto your team because they're available and they've got the time. He says, but they blinking will get confidence and then they go and get a job and then we have to find somebody else.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I think there's a nurturing aspect that happens quite naturally within the team, and it's that place that just welcomes people with whatever skills they've got and puts them to work and says, great job. You know, they're generous with their accolades. There's a sense of celebration and people feel like they can contribute, and then they get confident and off they go.
Yep. Well, I can certainly testify to that with my wife. You know, when I first met Kim, I always joked she was a bit like a mute, like she hardly said anything. And when she first started Mainly Music, like I said before, I was really surprised. Oh. But there's been kind of like a leadership development that's happened through that process without me driving any of it at all.
Yes.
She's just wanted to do that. And now when I look at her, you know, leading sessions up the front, leading teams, coming up with ideas, communicating with people, I'm just so proud of her.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
Mainly Music's been a huge part of that journey. I don't think she'd be where she's at. And perhaps without Mainly Music, I've never thought of it this way before, but in terms of planting a church, it may have been actually further off if Kim hadn't developed that confidence through Mainly Music.
Yeah.
So when we launched, she had a confidence that she didn't have before. So I'm probably putting words in her mouth, but from a husband's perspective, I've certainly seen a real blossoming there, which
is great.
Really, so be
great.
Encouraged by that.
Yeah, yeah, I am. It's really, I'm really very good. Encouraged.
Excellent. So in the few chats we've had over the time, I've always loved that you've got a real passion for innovation. We've heard some of that, trying new things to be, I guess, as effective as possible with mission.
Yeah.
So we were recently at a mission conference, and I was inspired hearing that you weren't just thinking, okay, well, Mainly Music's done, we just tick along now, but you're always thinking about new ways of doing it. Is it effective? Can it be more effective? All that sort of stuff. So what's in the pipeline for Mainly Ministries, and what new ideas do you have for the future to, I guess, continue to be effective and have a kingdom impact?
Yeah, sure. So you just said Mainly Ministries, which is actually our new innovation. So what we are wanting to do is make sort of a place of ministries. Yeah, I mean, it says Mainly Ministries. Ministries that are connecting church and community. And so rather than focus just on Mainly Music, and we've also got Mainly Play, which is more of a play group model. And we've actually got something else coming in under that shortly. So there's like
top
this.
Secret, is it?
Yeah, it is top secret at the moment.
We're going to make an exclusive on the podcast.
we wanted like an overarching brand that we could say, look, faith communities, whether you're church, whether you are a pioneering missional community, whether you are a group of people who meet together and break bread and read the Bible, and you're thinking, what else can we do to tangibly connect with people in our community? Come to Mainly Ministries, and we're hoping that we'll have a solution for you. And I'm not tied to connecting with the traditional local church only. I want to see Maney Music in other places. So it's already been used as a church planting method.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
And
so when you say, just press into that a little bit.
Yeah,
so
Do
you start a Maney Music group and then that's how you gather people when you start a church? Is that the sort of thing?
Yeah.
Well, it is effective for gathering people in the community that aren't people of faith.
And then it's effective in Lebanon where there are, you know, refugees who need that connection point, who need to know that somebody cares about them and that provides them a very safe place for them to interact as women and to interact with their children.
It's wonderful.
That's our long term. We're going to do a bit more online. That's also our expectation. That's happened as a result of COVID. But never undermining the connection with the local church or iteration of church.
Yeah, I think that'll be a big pivot for a lot of organisations after COVID, holding the balance between leveraging technology.
Yeah,
I think we'll probably see less travel and maybe more remote kind of working. But how do you keep that face-to-face stuff, which is so precious as
absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. Because that's really more what Maney Music's about, is about the care and the community and the loving on families than it is about the music. Mm. Like, it's really about helping to see other people grow, just like your wife does, has, you know, in that other families are also growing in their interaction.
For sure. So this is the first podcast we've done since COVID. You know, we can actually meet in a room again now, which is really nice. And it's been a difficult time in a lot of ways. But obviously, as you've just alluded to, it's unleashed incredible creativity.
Yeah.
We've seen people, I don't even know where creative be creative, which has been wonderful. How has Maney Music pivoted in this time? And what do you think, what things have you learned and what things, I guess, will you keep or develop in the future?
Yeah. So we went online and as an organisation, in fact, my lounge is now the Maney Music Studio.
Oh, yeah.
And we just did sessions using a camera. Using a phone, I mean, as our camera.
Yep.
And then one of our staff has a son who is into video editing, and so he's been doing that in New Zealand on a weekly basis.
Yeah, nice.
And then just releasing them. And that has taken the pressure off local teams who are trying to do work and homeschool and everything all in the one space. It's allowed them to concentrate on Zooming for connection and finding out how their children and families are. We will continue, we're hoping we will continue that because that's going to require some financial investment. Where we'd like to take that is so that remote, it's always concerned me that people in remote locations in Australia and in remote locations in New Zealand, you know, the remote is depending on how big your country is, they can't always access something like a Maney Music. So how can we use an online session to help them connect, as well as connect with their child, but also connect with others, other families?
Yeah, it's great. We've been doing online sessions with Maney Music, and it's just great to be able to sing happy birthday to people having their birthday still and have that personal connection. It's nowhere near the same as the face-to-face, but when you can't do that, and I imagine for remote people, instead of just missing out altogether, to have access to a session would be really wonderful.
Yeah.
So,
And often women are involved in the business of the farm or in the, you know, so they can't always go out on a Tuesday morning because it's shearing time and they need to be doing something else. So
For sure. It's amazing how much we've learned in this season.
Like all
of our online services are recorded on my iPhone and a sound recorder, and then you send it off to someone, I send it off to Nathan and he edits it for us. And I think we've all learned new skills that will be valuable on the other side. That's really good. So the other passion that pours out of you every time I talk to you is a passion for evangelism.
Yep.
You want to see people come to know and be connected with Jesus.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians seem to think that evangelism's dead. Because I guess they've been tainted by the soapbox door knocking, and they see that as something that doesn't work. And there's some truth to that.
Yeah, there is.
In some ways, I think not everyone's an evangelist. I think everyone's called to do the work of evangelism. Sometimes we try and force everyone to do evangelism like an evangelist would do it, rather than doing it in a more natural way.
Yeah.
So I think we've still got great opportunities, even in a post-Christian world, to reach out with the love of Jesus, even more so in some ways. So how do you encourage that passion in a ministry like Mainly Ministries, while also avoiding, you know, the bait and switch? Hey, yeah. Come to our playgroup. Hey, yeah. By the way, come to church.
Yeah, yeah. No, so, definitely not. Yep. I don't like that at all. And I know neither do you. Because I think it's about creating an environment where God can be real, where Jesus is revealed to people. And that only happens when you're real as a person. Mm. People have what a friend of mine calls a crapometer. And, you know, within a few seconds, they know whether or not you're trying to make it all look good or whether you're actually a real person. And, you know, life throws some curveballs at us. How do we respond as followers of Jesus? How do we have hope and show hope? And how are we real about the grief and the pain and the disappointments of life while also retaining that hope in the long term and in the now?
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like over time we've lost a bit of the actually Jesus is available to me now.
Mm.
It's not about the hope of heaven.
Mm.
It's actually now. What does life look like now?
Yep.
We've
been talking about that at church and, you know, going through the book of Ephesians, you know, walking in the power of God, embracing an inner strength you have in Christ, all those things. And I think I said just recently in a message that had like this tub of treasures and I was pulling out props and I said, we've got all these treasures we have access to. Sometimes like we live like we don't.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, that's that point you bring up is really good. To try and walk in that power of God in everything we do.
And it's also allowing, so almost like the space that's in between us here, allowing that you could ask me a question about God and I don't need to know the answer, but let's explore it together. And I don't want to push my answer back to you or even take you further than where you're prepared to go. I need to have my listening ears on, listening to what you're asking and listening to the prompt of the Holy Spirit for the next question, not for the answer, for the next question, so that I'm just constantly listening to your questions and then listening to what you've got to say and I'm asking questions rather than trying to be the smart aleck with the in the box.
Yeah, the script.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's where the crapometer works. Yeah, you know, like it's like, so you've just learnt this.
Yep.
That's not of interest to me. I want something real.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've heard it said that authenticity is the currency of leadership.
Yeah.
But I think authenticity is the currency of friendship as well.
Yeah.
And if you're not real, you know, the Bible says if you want friends, you got to first be friendly.
Yeah.
If you want authentic friends, you first got to be authentic, I think.
Yeah.
And people are attracted to that. They want that deep down. So I think when it comes to evangelism, like you're saying, you've got to invest in that relationship, those friendships, and the opportunities will come if they can see something different in your life. So,
well, I would say really authenticity is the currency of faith.
Yeah. So just from a personal point of view, I'm always fascinated to hear a person's leadership journey.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to you, it's clear that you have an amazing gift of leadership on your life. So when did you first recognize leadership on your life, and what or who have been the major influences in that?
Sure. So I would say growing up in church, and well, actually at school, I had leadership abilities. And then they were further used in church. So both in school and in church. Mm. I was often the class captain or house group captain, things like that. I was a bit loud. So, you know, I remember one year a teacher not putting my name forward for house group captain I was just a bit too extrovert for her and a bit too strong. Mm. And then I had my first boss really believed in me, and I've worked for him 3 times in 3 different places. He now lives in Sydney. Mm. And he's like a second dad to me, and I know that he's got my back, and I know that I've made a space for him to speak into my life.
Mm.
Like if he said something, I'd really wrestle with it and take it seriously.
Mm. There's a trust there. It's
yeah, there is a very, yeah, 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 there is a big trust. And he's believed in me as a leader.
Mm.
And he's given me opportunity to grow. And so I try and extend that to other people in a similar way that he extended it to me.
Yep. I think most leaders you talk to, they have that person or those people that did believe in them.
Yeah.
So I think for those people that are listening, like if you're a leader, the importance of doing that, of identifying, I think a big part of our leadership is actually allowing the Holy Spirit to help us identify leadership in people, because we often see it in them before they see it in themselves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And so encouraging them, giving them opportunity, giving them feedback. So really good to hear you had someone like that and still do.
Yeah.
They can continually speak wisdom into your life. Yeah. And it's just good to have those people you can turn to.
Yep.
I'm not sure what to do.
Yep.
I need a bit of advice here.
Yeah.
So it's really good.
Yeah. And we've got somebody at work who we've brought onto the leadership team beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just blown away by her ability to lead.
Mm.
She has just, she's just take, and she, you initially, you wouldn't have gone, oh, yeah, pick her.
Mm.
She's just this quiet, and get it done, build other people around her, build the team around her.
Mm.
She's amazing.
Yep.
And I've loved seeing her flourish in this new role.
Mm. It's wonderful. I think when you're looking for leaders, often you look for the A-type, don't you? The loud, the, you know, a bit like you
yeah,
and probably a little bit like me. You know, you're sort of more outgoing, you're more confident, but some of the best leaders I've ever had on teams are the unassuming.
Yeah.
They don't even see themselves as leaders. When you ask them to be a leader, like they're like, I couldn't lead. It's like, you're already doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just already, you know, confirming what you're already doing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I think it's really important that we don't just look for one type of leader.
No, exactly.
But we look for leadership in different personalities, and because we'll reach different people.
Yeah.
Like you and I might easily connect with the loud, outgoing people, but we might sort of be a bit of a steamroller for some of the quieter people. So no, that's a really good point.
There's a lady in Wellington who she was on staff with us for a while, and she's led Mainey Music, and she's now handed it over to somebody else, but she still is involved. And I used to call her a mother hen leader, because she just sort of brought people under her wing, just cared for them, and then would see them flourish. And Elizabeth was just great, but totally different leadership style to me.
Yeah. And there's beauty in that, isn't there? Like it talks about God being like that with the chicks under his wing and the shelter and the safety and the love. So that's really, really great.
Yeah.
So you said before that you're driven.
Yes.
What would you say your leadership style is? And what are some of the greatest lessons you've learned through leading people with that style?
Yeah. So, I would say leadership style is, the best leadership style is servant leadership.
Mm, no doubt.
And that doesn't mean being walked over.
Mm.
That means looking for those places where you can serve people. And more recently, in the last few years, I would say that I've pressed into that people can, you know, I said before I was a bit more leaning towards task than people. So I look for the ways I can serve people in that way, you know, in a leadership way.
Mm.
Making sure that I'm really honoring them as people, not for what they can do for Mainey Music or do for me or the vision, but actually who they are and who God has made them to be, and that's what they bring, rather than the skills or the outputs.
Yep.
That's still important, but it's not the primary.
For sure. It's easier to develop that than it is to develop character too, isn't it?
Yes.
So you want those people that, you know, are going to be loving and kind and caring, and then you can develop the skills rather than someone who's very skillful but doesn't have the character.
So, yes. Now, what was the other question?
So what
lessons?
Yeah, what are some of the lessons you've learned about leading?
Get out of the way. Because I am an entrepreneur and an ideas person, actually John, my first boss, reminded me that I have a very commanding voice and a commanding presence, and I have to preface things often this is just what I'm thinking. I haven't actually made this decision.
Yep.
And I remember somebody on staff years ago in New Zealand, Heather, she got frustrated because she could never work out when we were actually doing something or whether it was just that I was thinking about it. Mm. And it was John helping me with that and saying, actually, you need to let people know. I haven't got this all together.
Mm.
It's been percolating in my head and it sounds like I've got it all together, but I'm looking for a challenge. I'm looking for the ways that it's not going to work.
Mm.
That has been really helpful, actually, to make sure that I clearly communicate what I'm just thinking and what is actually we are going for. Mm. What else have I learned? I've learned that my faith informs my leadership.
Mm.
So my leadership is a whole lot better when I am really deeply connected with Jesus.
Yeah. So
and
important.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. And you can't pay lip service to it. Mm. You actually have to do it.
Yep. People can tell, I think, when you're not.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I can tell when I'm not.
Yeah, I think other people can too. Like sometimes when you talk to people like worship leaders, for example, and they're not they're struggling or whatever, and you can usually tell that they're not connected with God.
Yeah.
And when you ask them about their relationship, it's not going that well.
Yeah.
That's the first port of call. You've got to reconnect with him, you know,
and
then what you do flows from all the riches that you find in a relationship with him. So, you've got to keep reconnecting when you're disconnected.
Yeah. I've got a whole lot better at listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, you know, just those quiet prompts in my leadership. So not just doing everything in the natural, but actually seeking and being aware of and I'm a very quick person, and so reflection doesn't happen quickly for me or easily quickly.
Yep.
I don't think reflection's meant to happen quickly, actually. But just like I mostly drive without the radio on or even more recently not without a book. I'm actually listening to a book at the moment. But just really to allow myself that time just to mull over stuff. I always like doing two things at once. So, you know, driving and reflecting at the same time is a good thing.
Well, women are notoriously multitasking.
Yeah,
so, you know, it comes with the territory, really. But, yeah, I think you're right. Like, I think when you live a busy life, you just go from one thing to another and you just don't reflect. And I think what I've loved about what you've been saying the last few minutes is there's so much about self-awareness.
Yes.
Actually reflecting on who you are. How you come across as a leader, what you need to do to keep growing.
Yeah.
So continuing in that vein, what do you think is your greatest strength as a leader and what's your greatest weakness?
Yeah.
And how do you work on both of those areas?
Oh, I hadn't actually thought about that. Because I am a strong woman, I think that's a strength.
Mm, absolutely.
All right? But it has been a weakness as well. And I've had to do a lot of work because I found myself being intimidated by other strong women. Mm. And so I went to a counselor and I did some digging around and worked out why was that happening. Mm. And then worked out the trigger points. So that became a weakness because I would acquiesce to other strong women. Mm. That becomes a strength because I'm aware of doing the same thing to other people.
Mm.
So
yeah,
I really try not and pressure people while also, you know.
Being strong as well.
Being strong at the same time. Yeah.
You don't want to lose that strength, but you want to use it in a way that it's honouring others and all that. So yeah, that's really good. So last question before we go to our quick fire questions.
Yeah.
As a Christian leader.
Yeah.
What excites you most about the future and the opportunities ahead of us, where we're at as a nation, as a church, as people?
Yeah. Mm. I'm always excited that God created a God-shaped hole in everyone. Mm. And so really being not giving up that, you know, that the world doesn't want to know about Jesus.
Mm.
I don't follow that line.
Mm.
You know, people do.
They're more interested than you think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think COVID has helped that as well.
Great opportunity ahead of us.
Yes, yes. I remember one of our auditors telling me that I was the most positive person he'd ever met.
Oh, that's a big rap. Put that on the resume.
And,
yeah.
And so for the most part, I would see the positive in each, you know, in every interaction.
Yep.
But I have noticed just more recently that I have to watch that because I can be blindsided by somebody telling me all the risks.
Mm.
And I think it's more that I'm blindsided by the fact that I didn't think about any of the risks and I only saw the way forward.
Yeah, yep.
And then I can get a little bit in the mud with the risks.
Discouraged,
and then and I just have to go, no, get on with it.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, it's a balance, isn't it? Keeping those people around you that are going to see those things, but not being so discouraged you go, oh, okay, you're right, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a mixture of both of those things. Yeah. But I think it's a great thing that people would say, you know, the most positive person they ever met. So we could rewind back to the intro and say, you know, CEO of Manly Music, founder, and the most positive person in the world. So we'll add that
in. It came from an auditor, remember? He's a great one.
Yeah, very good. Excellent. Well, we always finish a podcast with quick fire questions.
Yep.
So I've got three for you. Hopefully they're good ones. Do you want to tell us your favourite or most helpful book that you've read on leadership?
Yeah. So I got it here. And because I'm a New Zealander, it's called Legacy, What the All Blacks Can Teach Us About the Business of Life.
All Blacks, what's that? Oh, that's that rugby thing, isn't it? Our administrator tells me about it all the time.
Yes, I have got another book, which if anybody watching is a entrepreneur, Get a Grip, part of the Traction Library. I would recommend this. This is a entrepreneurial operating system that we have adopted.
Mm.
And like Patrick Lencioni's book, this is the fictitious novel that is actually true because they've cobbled together a whole lot of true stories.
Oh, wow. That'd be fascinating.
And put it into an offer, you know, into a company environment, and you just all the learnings are so very clear.
Okay, excellent. What's one leadership quote that you've heard and lived by?
Yeah, I don't know that I've got anything that I can offer there, other than I would say Nike's "Just Do It."
Just do it. Yeah, it's a well-known one. Yeah, we've always said as a church we want to be a can-do, a Bob the Builder church.
Okay,
can we do it?
Yes, we can.
Same sort of philosophy.
Yeah,
faith, belief. Yeah, it's great. Number three, if you could use just one word to describe leadership, what would it be?
I'd go back to servant.
Yeah.
I think servant is...
Can't go wrong with that one.
Yep.
That's a beauty. Joe, I've really enjoyed our chat.
Really me too.
Appreciate
Thanks.
You serving us in this way and just coming and offering your expertise and wisdom. It's been great. So thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the As One Leadership podcast, getting you in the room with experienced leaders so you can grow and thrive in leadership. This podcast is hosted by Luke Williams and brought to you by Follow Baptist Church. If you're listening to this podcast, please subscribe on your favorite podcast app. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. Your feedback will help us grow further and bring new, insightful content to you. For those watching on YouTube, please like this video, leave a comment, and subscribe to the Follow Church channel. Ultimately, if you found this episode valuable, please share it with others who can also benefit from it. We can't wait to share more experiences and knowledge in our next episode. From Melbourne to the world.